Hello, everybody. This is Kasia. Let's talk about children and fluoridation. If you want to listen to the fluoride and thyroid podcast that I just created, that will give you a little bit more history, politics, and a little bit more logistics about fluoridation in our municipal water and where it comes from. But today, I'll just focus on children. So the reason for the fluoride to be added in water in the first place in 1945 and then officially all over the country starting in 1951 was to prevent caries in children. And unfortunately, up to this point, the research doesn't really support this as a very effective tool to decrease dental cavities in children. On the contrary, there's too many risks involved, and as a result, a lot of the countries in the world actually are phasing it out or not even installing fluoridation, where America is kind of an exception. So what I want you to know about your children is that recently Environmental Protection Agency added fluoride to the list of developmental neurotoxins, because it seems to interfere with normal brain development, according to studies. So, I recently listened to Dr. Kathleen Thiessen. She's one of the top specialist scientific experts on fluoride in the world. And, you know, she's done a lot of research. She's worked on the subject for many years. She says there's really no solid scientific study on safety and effectiveness of fluoride. And the evidence simply does not support the benefit of fluoridation. That's what she says. Now, the problem is that with the neurotoxins, there's really not a safe level below which any exposure is okay, especially in a child with a developing brain. And a little exposure every day can have detrimental effects on the health of a person long term in adult life. So the problem with the water fluoridation, even if you're not against fluoridation, the concept of it yourself, is that the dose is really uncontrolled. If you look at a toothpaste, fluoridated toothpaste for small children, the instructions will say that you need a pea size, and if the child actually swallows more than that, you have to seek immediate medical attention because it's such a toxic element. And yet in water, you know, it's impossible to control the dose and exposure of your children. And you have to also consider, if you're not familiar with nutrition and and human nutritional needs, we don't need to supplement fluoride like we do vitamin D, for example. We thrive without fluoridated water. It's not essential. It's not needed. We get traces of it in natural water, but it's a different form of fluoride. Now, another problem that is a big red flag for me is that when you look at the studies, we now know that fluoride crosses the placenta. So when a woman that is pregnant is advised to be well hydrated and she uses a typical water filtration system like Brita or Pure, or she just drinks tap water, she actually is getting a lot of exposure to fluoride, and the fetus will as well. That raises a risk for the developing brain. We don't really understand it yet. But I want to quote a recent study, the biggest study of its kind. It's an Iowa study funded by the National Institute of Health and Centers for Disease Control. It's the largest study ever done in the U.S. For the fluoride to test how much American children are actually exposed to fluoride. So what it showed is that we're actually massively overdosing with fluoride. 100% of infants fed on formula made with tap water receive more than the recommended dose. Some receive even 100 times that level. They found out that 30% of 1-year-old children and 47% of 2 to 3-year-old children ingest more than recommended dose on a daily basis. And the study also verifies that it's impossible to regulate fluoride dosage from public water supply. So we do get excessive amounts of a neurotoxin for the developing brain. And if we look at, the effect on the brain in children of fluoride, it's a little bit similar to mercury, lead, and flame retardants. It affects short-term memory, it affects working memory. And there was a landmark study from Harvard in 2015, was published in Neurotoxicity and Teratology Journal. It showed association of lifetime exposure to fluoride and cognitive functions in Chinese children. It was a pilot study, and basically the conclusion of the study was that dental fluorosis, fluorosis, which is a discoloration, a white discoloration of teeth in children that is solely caused by excess of fluoridation in water or toothpaste. But that dental fluorosis in children correlates directly with the lower IQ. Not a very good pilot study in terms of, you know, watching the development of your children. The recent report from the CDC says that 41% of children in the U.S. actually have that dental fluorosis. African American children have disproportionately higher percentage. This is 58 compared to 36 among Caucasian children. And so that we're talking about up to 22 million of American children. So yes, see if you can find toothpaste without fluoride. See if you can have a good filtration system. I mentioned something that I've been looking at recently called PF to Berkey filter. I'm hearing good things. I'm reading good things. I might buy it and test it as well. I talk more about filtration systems in the other podcast on thyroid and fluoridation. So you're welcome to listen there and investigate it a little further. Take care of your children, and thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.